This week's parsha, we learn about the fact that Bnei Yisrael had the grave sin of the golden calf, the Chet Egel. And Hashem says to Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael in Perek Lama Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, etc., through the Perek, how that's it. Hashem is upset. He's not going in with them to Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to be as good as it's been. And the Pasuk says, Vayishma ha'am sadavar harazeh, Pasuk Dalet, the Jewish people heard this horrible news. Vayis abalu, avel. They mourned. Very, very sad announcement. V'lo shasu ish edyo alav. The translation that the art scroll gives, V'lo shasu, they didn't place their crowns on their heads. The Jewish people, when they received the Torah, received two, each person of the 600,000 people received two crowns, one for saying Nasa, one for saying Nishma, and they were so down and out, they didn't put the crowns on their head. The problem is, fast forward a couple psukim, and the Torah says, even the next pasuk, it says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Amor al Bnei Yisrael, Atam Am Kshei Oref. Go tell the Jewish people that they're a stubborn nation. I'm going to destroy them. Va'ata, and now, Horeid et Yecha Me'alacha. Go take off the crowns from your head. The pasuk, right before that, said that they didn't put their crowns on their head. And now the pasuk is telling them to take the crowns off their head. And the Pasuk Vav says, Vayitnatzvu b'nei Yisrael said, Yam mehar chorev. The Jewish people lost the crowns that they had received at Har Sinai. The Gemara says, Masechah Shabbos, 1,200,000 angels came down and took, 600,000 took off the crowns of Nasa, 600,000 took off the crowns of Nishma, and that's it, it was gone. What's going on here? The Pasuk says that the Jews were so upset, they were so down and out, they were mourning over this horrible news that Hashem said that we're not going to be so intimate anymore, that they didn't put the crowns on their head. And the next Pasuk says that Hashem tells them to take the crowns off their head. Were the crowns on their head? Were the crowns not on their head? So the Rush in the back of the Gemara, in the back of the Mikras Gedolos, has a very interesting pshat, which just teaches us, as we read through the Chumash, we always have to know how to punctuate. It's very important. And one of the ways of knowing how to punctuate is by looking at the trup, the cantillation notes, the timing. And he points out as follows. He says, in Pasuk Dalet it says, that the Jews heard this announcement, Vayisabal, they mourned. And then it says, Vilo Sha'asu, it's a tavir, if you know what that means. Ish Edyo, Alav. He says the comma is after the word shasu, meaning v'lo shasu. They didn't pay attention. Like that word is also used by Paro. The Paro didn't pay attention, says v'lo shasu. What it means is they mourned, but they said, you know, not going to pay attention to so much. Ish adio alav, and they left the crowns on their head. Vayis abalu, they mourned. V'lo shasu, they didn't pay attention to the fact that things weren't so good anymore, and they allowed the crowns to remain on their head. And the next pasuk says, Hashem says, ha, 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 take those crowns off. Okay, that makes sense. However, all the other Rishonim understand that that's the incorrect comma. The real hefsek, the real place to stop, to punctuate, is after the word edyo. So the pasuk would go as follows. V'lo shasu ish edyo, the people did not put their crowns, alav, on their own heads. In which case, back to our original question, that if they didn't put the crown on their head, how do you resolve it with the next pasuk that says that Hashem says to take the crowns off their heads? Okay. So I'd like to suggest, I'd like to tell you a beautiful answer that I saw from the Chozen Melublin. And in order to appreciate his answer, we have to backtrack a little bit. Back to Parshas Bereishis. The Nachash, the snake, who caused all of our problems, I like to blame him, came in and he wanted to marry Chava. He wanted to get, he had something that he wanted very badly, that really didn't belong to him. She was married to Adam, but that's what he wanted. And the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, some of us have learned this, and Daf Tesemet Aleph, 9a on the very bottom, anyone who puts his eyes onto something that doesn't belong to him, first of all, what he wants, he's never going to get. And that which he already has is going to be taken away. We find that by the Nachash. He put his eyes into something that wasn't fit for him, wasn't permitted to him. He never ended up getting Chava. And then he lost a lot of things that he already had. For example, he was supposed to be the melech, the king, on all of the animals. And now he's going to be nothing, a little snake on the ground. He was supposed to walk, bekoma zakufa, upright. That's the original, that's how the snake was supposed to go. And now, on his belly, originally he was supposed to eat like a human being. And now he has to go ahead and eat dirt. So, not only did he not get what he wanted, but he also lost everything that he had. But what's that about? Why is it? Why is it that when I want something that's not really for me, I lose everything that I have as well? And the idea behind it is a psychological concept, and that is that the only thing that gives value to what I have is if I actually value it. I could have a lot of money, but if money's not important to me, so give the money away. It's irrelevant. If I have a car, and it's really important to me, so it gives value. But if not, so I'm not going to take care of it, I'm going to ruin it. The only time something is important to me and really becomes mine is if I value it, if I appreciate it. When I begin to start looking at what other people have, and I say, I want that car. I want that piece of clothing. I want to be able to do what he's doing on his vacation. So all of a sudden, what I'm doing on my vacation is worthless. And it's really better not to waste any money, because at the end of the day, you're not going to enjoy it, you're not going to appreciate it. The definition of allowing ourselves to appreciate what we have is not looking at other people's things and desiring it. The Nachash wanted something else that didn't belong to him. It wasn't shaykh to them. It was nothing to him. And the second he wanted it and went after it, all the amazing things that he had, standing tall, eating human food, the king of all the animals, it's all out. Because he wanted something different. It wasn't worth anything anymore. And that hashkafa, he put in a little bit to Chava, into the human being. Because the pasuk says, Vayomer Nachash el Ha'isha, the snake said to the woman, Lomos to Masun, don't worry, you can eat from the tree, nothing will happen to you. If you eat from it, you're going to become very smart. Your eyes are going to open up. And you're going to be like a god. Don't you want to be like a god? What, you're going to settle for just being a human being? You could be like something else. You could be like a god. Don't you want that? Ooh, yeah, I want that. Yeah, this tree actually does look pretty good to eat. And she went after it. The source of her sin was she wanted to be something that she wasn't. She wanted to be like God. She should have known you can't be like God. She was no dummy. But the Nachash put in, like the venom, into the person, this hashkafa, this philosophy, to go after the things that are really not relevant to you. And that is the beginning of a person's downfall. Comes along the Jewish people at Har Sinai. And at Har Sinai, a very interesting thing happened. We sing about this at our Haggadah Seder, the famous song Dayenu. You all love the tune. And one of the stanzas of Dayenu is Ilu Kirvanu Lifnei Har Sinai. Hashem, if you would have brought us to Har Sinai, Vilonas and Lanu Es HaTorah, and you wouldn't have given us the Torah. Torah. You should have brought us to Har Sinai. Dayenu, that would have been enough. It would have been enough to thank you, Hashem, for just bringing us to Har Sinai and not giving us the Torah. Huh? What, like it was like a pretty mountain, great scenery, God, that would have been enough. What was so special about Har Sinai? Har Sinai was bare, it was a low mountain. What are we thanking about getting to Har Sinai? Explains the Avudram that when the Jewish people got to Har Sinai, Pasku Zuhamasan, all of that evil, all of that negative effect that entered into man at the time of Adam and Chava with the Nachash, it was all gone. We had gotten to a place like man was before his sin. That's pretty good. So we didn't get the Torah. No. We would have thought, thank you Hashem, just for at least getting to that high spiritual level. We also got the Torah, that's even better. But Ilu Kivanu Fnei Har Sinai, because at the time that we got to Har Sinai, we hit the place like Adam Arishon before he sinned. Now, how did that happen? How did we get back there? So one of the aspects of this is a much longer idea. But one of the aspects is that the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem to get the Torah. And the angel said, well, what's this guy doing here? He wants to come get a Torah? The Torah is so special. It's been hiding in the treasure chest of Hashem for generations and generations. You're going to give it to a human being? Forget about it. It's crazy, Hashem. What happened to you? How could you do that? A human being. Flesh and blood. So Hashem says, Moshe, why didn't you answer them? You know, I want to give you the Torah. Why didn't you answer them? And Moshe says, I'm really scared. They're going to burn me up with the fire of their mouth. He says, don't worry, Hashem says, hang on to my kisei hakavod, my chair, my throne, and they won't touch you. And give an answer. And then there's a debate back and forth between Moshe Rabbeinu and the angels. And there are a lot of questions on this Gemara, but one of the questions is, why didn't Hashem just answer it? Hashem had decided he wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people. So the angels come along and say, Hashem, what are you doing? It's a human being, flesh and blood. What are you giving him the Torah? Hashem should have answered and said, no, you don't understand. There are mitzvos in the Torah. There's a story. There are lessons. It's for the Jewish people. Whatever the answer that Moshe ended up giving, why did Hashem give it? Why did Hashem empower Moshe to go ahead and give the answer? So the idea is that Hashem was teaching us a very important lesson. And that is that with the Torah, we have to believe in ourselves that we could stand up against the malachim. We could stand up against the angels. Don't rely on Hashem to go ahead and take care of business for you. Okay, we always have to rely on Hashem. We always have to daven to Hashem. But when you're able to go ahead and do what's right for Hashem, do it yourself. Don't rely on a miracle. Go ahead and take it into your own hands and do it. Moshe, you do it. Me? Moshe? Yeah, you! You can do it! You can answer the malachim. Think and answer. You can do it. You have the power. You have the koach. It's about you. You have to believe in yourself. That's what Hashem was teaching right away at the time of Matan Torah, before the Torah was even given down. He was teaching Moshe, you got to believe in yourself that you could do great things. And that was a game changer from what happened before that with Adam Arishon and Chava and the Nachash. The Nachash didn't value his own abilities. He didn't value what he was given, his own gifts, his own talents, his own potential. And he was saying, I want that. I want something different. Chava, I want to be like God. I want to move to a different place. No, look at what you have. Look at your gifts. Look at your talents. Look at your chachma, your wisdom, your potential, and build off of that. You have to be an individual. You have to know what you have and go with it. That's what you got to do. You got to believe in yourself. That's the key. And when Bnei Yisrael recognized that, they experienced the incredible nisim, the incredible miracles that happened in Mitzrayim, at the Yam Suf, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, and Bnei Yisrael, they realized, wow, we have a relationship with God, we are special, we are different, we can do tremendous things. When they realized that, they weren't all of a sudden looking at, oh, that nation is doing this, and they're over here, They believed in themselves. And when they believed in themselves, they were then ready to go ahead and get the Torah. And they had gotten back to a place before that original sin occurred. Comes the Chozem Milublin, and he says as follows. He says, the Pasuk says, V'lo shasu, sorry, V'lo shasu ish et yo'alav. What does that mean? He says a perush, an explanation that's a little bit like the Rush and a little bit like the other opinions. He says, V'lo shasu means they didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention to the crowns that were on their head. They were so down and out. They were so sad about this announcement that Hashem is not going to be with them, that they didn't pay attention to the crowns on their head. They didn't pay attention to the fact that they're so close to God no matter what, and they have tremendous potential. And they started feeling depressed. They started feeling that they can't do it anymore. They were on a high level. Hashem is a little bit upset. They made a mistake. We can't do it anymore. We can't be great. We can't succeed. We can't push forward. The crowns were on their head. All they have to do is go like this. Oh, wait a second. Hey, wait, I forgot about that. Yeah. I have crowns. I have awesome potential. Nah. They forgot that it was there. And then the next pasuk says, well, if you're not going to believe in yourself, if you're not going to realize the tremendous potential that you have, so Hashem says, just take them off. Forget it. You lost it. The only way you could keep those crowns on your head, says the Chozem Lublin, is if you believe and you recognize the fact that you have those crowns on your head. If we realize how incredible we are, how much potential we have, how much we could do, and all those ceilings that other people and other nations and other Ashkafos set on us, who cares about those things? We could shoot forward. We could do more. When we believe in ourselves in that way, we could do anything. We could succeed in every single way. The Pasuk, a few Pasukim later, speaks about Yoshua. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Yidibra Hashem al Moshe panim al panim. Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face, just like a person speaks to his friend. And he went back to the tent, and Yoshua, who was a nar is a young lad, never left the tent. He was always in the tent of Moshe. And the Ibn Ezra asks the following question. A nar? You call Yoshua a nar? Yoshua was 56 years old. Can you imagine going to a 50-year-old and saying, you're a nar? That's an embarrassment. What do you mean? He's an old man. 56. What are you calling him a nar for? And the Mefarshim, the Ibn Ezra, they struggle to explain this. But the Sefer Rinas Yitzchak gives a beautiful answer. He says, the Pasuk says in Yoshua, on Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki nar Yisrael v'aveh, that the Jew, Hashem says the Jewish people are like a nar. What does that mean? Explains of Yisrael Salanter that as long as the Jewish people behave like a nar, behave like a kid, a young child, Hashem loves them. What's the difference between a young child and an old man? An old man says, again, the stereotypical old man, goes ahead and says, look, I'm old. I can't change. I can't do much more. Status quo, I'm going to tread water, I'm going to go ahead and just continue with life. I'm a good person, but like, to dream of something different, like how many people change their jobs at a certain age? This doesn't happen. A kid, you ask them what they want to do at the age of 7, and he says, oh, I want to be a doctor. Oh, what do you want to do? I want to be a Rosh Yeshiva. Oh, what do you want to do? I want to be an accountant. And the next day, something different. The next day, something different. And they keep on shooting for tremendous things. Now the older person says, oh, you're not realistic. The kid doesn't even know what that means. He has big dreams, big hopes, and he keeps on growing and pushing and more and more and more. That's what kids do. And that's why they supersede any people's expectations. You never would have thought this kid could do it. And boom, here he is. Another success, another success. Boom, every day, every week, every year. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I never thought you could do this. And look, this is what you did. And then at a certain point in life, for some reason, people just start to chill. Says the Pasuk, when the Jewish people act like a nar, when they're always growing, when they're always striving for greater things, oh boy, do I love that. That's what Hashem wants. And that was Yeshua. Yeshua was 56 years old, but he was a nar. He had the character trait of a young child. I want to know more. I want to know more. And that's why the Pasuk says he never left the Ohel of Moshe. You would have thought he was so smart. He knew everything. Yeshua. Okay, so you don't go to yeshiva that another day. You'll still know everything. You'll still know more than everyone else. I'm not leaving, buddy. Moshe, I want to know more. I want to learn more. I want to grow more. Tell me more. You never had a place in life when you just say, okay, I just gotta survive. If a person's in survival mode, he's drowning. That's bad. No one wants to just be treading water during their life. It doesn't go. You ought to be swimming upstream for that in the strongest way and pushing forward and doing hard things. That's what a nar says. Oh, sure, I can do that. Sure, I'm going to go. I'm going to want more. I'm going to learn. I'll stay up later. Young people, they can stay up late. They can wake up early. An old person has to go to sleep. He's tired. He loses koach. He loses energy. A nar keeps on going. And that was the midah of Yeshua. It's very, very important, as all the people in this room are super young. We have to stay super young. And we have to always be shooting to grow and grow and grow. Yeah, I said every person, everyone. Everyone in this room. No matter what the color of our beards are. We're shooting for something bigger. We're growing. That is the midah of a nar. But how do you do that? How do you do that? At any point in our lives, we say to ourselves, you know, I started late. I started learning late. This is what I could do. This is what I'm able to do. And that's it. I can't do more. Well, then we failed. Then we failed. Because we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe in the incredible potential that is in every single person that we have. And we don't believe in it? Hashem says, you know what? Forget it. Take off those crowns. You're right. You don't believe you have it? You don't value what you have? Either because you think what the other guy has is better, or because you're just so down and out that you don't care about what you have? Well, then I'm not going to help you out. Take it off. But the second you believe in yourself and you say that I could do it, I could shoot for more, I could grow more, I could learn more, I could help more people, I could do the things that I never thought that I could do. I'm not locked into a trajectory because 10 years, my 8th grade yearbook, I said this is what I'm going to do. So 20 years later, I have to do that because I have to fulfill what I don't want to be a liar. I got to do what I said 20 years ago. That's ridiculous. We can change our mind all the time based on what we feel we have the potential to do. Be'ezus Hashem, when we do that, we believe in ourselves and we continue to shoot forward and grow and grow and grow, we will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us those crowns. He'll give us the crowns of glory. He'll give us the koach, the energy for all of us to be able to succeed and maximize our potential. Everyone should have a Shavua Tov.